Our scripture reading for this Thanksgiving service is found in Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, in chapter 9. 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. For, as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready, lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thus far, God's holy and everlasting word. My dear congregation, on behalf of my family and your consistory, we wish every one of you a most blessed Thanksgiving day. I pray indeed that it may be a day of true, heartfelt, spirit-worked gratitude to God. John Calvin, he once wrote, "It is the highest worship to God when we acknowledge his goodness by thanksgiving." Paul writes in the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 21, that there were some who did not know God, he says, and because they did not know God, they did not glorify him, neither, he says, were they thankful to him. And he goes on to say that such profess themselves to be wise, but really are fools. Well, I pray that today on Thanksgiving and each day of the year, that may not be a description of us, that we do not give the glory to God, that we do not give thanksgiving to God, but that we may give glory to God and we may give thanksgiving to God. That's what God requires of us and what ought to fill our heart today and every day of our lives. Now, when we come to this annual Thanksgiving Day, dear congregation, our minds and our hearts may be filled with all different kinds of things. We think, don't we, dear children as well, of all different practices on Thanksgiving. Maybe you think of going over to grandpa and grandma's, if you have them still with you, and you think of all the delicious food you may eat, or you meet together with families, and you think with gratitude about these mercies given unto you. You think of family and friends. You think maybe of activities and customs that you often spend Thanksgiving Day with. But also on Thanksgiving Day, I hope and pray that we also think about coming to church. That's a very good thing, to come to church on Thanksgiving. And connected with that, we think also, don't we, about giving our gifts in the collection bag as an expression of Thanksgiving, putting our money in the offering bag at Thanksgiving time. And of course, traditionally, this has been the practice of thousands of churches for thousands of years. And this, of course, should not surprise us, because Scripture very closely associates the idea of sincere thanksgiving together with the idea of giving financial gifts. And in 2 Corinthians 9, the chapter that we read together from, the Apostle Paul is doing this by the Holy Spirit's guidance as well. He's bringing together this idea of sincere thanksgiving and the giving of gifts, and by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, he is really intertwining these two ideas and weaving them together, and also in the words of our text that we will consider with God's help this morning. Verses 11, 12, and 15 of 2 Corinthians 9. Being enriched, Paul writes, in everything to all bountifulness, which means liberality, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want, that's the need of the saints, but is abundant, that means is bountiful also, by many thanksgivings unto God. And then verse 15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Our theme this morning hour is very simple: Christian thanksgiving. Three thoughts with God's help. First, thanksgiving for God. Secondly, thanksgiving to God. And thirdly, thanksgiving with gifts from God. Christian thanksgiving for God, to God, and with gifts from God. Dear congregation, in both chapters 8 and 9 of the book of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is inspired to write about the principles of giving financial gifts. Now, the Corinthian church, you may well know, had many, many issues going on within it. There was marriage problems. There was divisions. There was sexual immorality. There was questions about marriage. There were legal questions. There were misunderstandings regarding Christian liberty. But it appears from both chapters 8 and 9 of the book of 2 Corinthians that the giving of financial gifts was not at all the problem for the Corinthians. In fact, it's very clear, by the way, the Apostle Paul begins this chapter for us touching the ministering to the saints, that is, by way of financial gifts in the context, it is superfluous for me to write to you. Paul says it's too much for me to write to you. It's over the top for me even to write to you about these things. In other words, they really didn't have to hear about this, the giving of money, because somehow they were lacking or failing in this area. That's not it at all. But yet the Apostle Paul is inspired by the Spirit to write to them, and of course, not only to them, but God is speaking yet to His church still today. And it is most interesting just to note this, that God will use both occasions of difficulty, as they were experiencing all areas of difficulty, and an experience of someone doing well, He will use both of these occasions as an occasion to speak His word, His truth about a certain subject, and the way that church and the way the church still today is called to live according to these particular things. Now, as the Apostle Paul does in many, if not most, subjects he addresses in his writings, he begins this subject as well with the Lord Jesus Christ at the center and at the foundation of this teaching. Already in the previous chapter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he's speaking there about the Corinthians giving, and he speaks metaphorically about Christ as the gift. In verse 9, he says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Now keep in mind, the Apostle Paul is speaking about giving of money, and so he turns and he focuses on Jesus Christ, and he uses the person and the work of Jesus Christ to illustrate the very thing that he's speaking about. He says that Christ is the rich one who became poor. And he did that, of course, by giving himself, that ye through his poverty might be rich, or rich toward God, we can well say. He begins with Jesus Christ and he ends this chapter 9 with these often quoted words, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." And though it's not specifically designated, that unspeakable gift, that unutterable gift, can be no one other than God's gift to this world in the person of His Son. And so Paul begins with the Lord Jesus Christ. He ends with the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, all this, also all about giving, he's teaching here, is all about Christ. It was Christ-centered for him. And we do well, congregation, first off this morning, to take good note of that. This Christ-centeredness that Paul is speaking from. This is necessary for all things. You know, oftentimes we well think that the preaching, and the preaching only, is to be Christ-centered. Well, it is necessary for preaching to be Christ-centered. But it's necessary in all areas of life. Scripture teaches us that our music should be Christ-centered, that our prayers should be for Jesus' sake, that our faith as we hear the Word should be a Christ-embracing faith, that our thanksgiving with financial gifts is to be Christ-founded. Indeed, the whole of our lives, congregation, are to be Christ-focused and Christ-founded. That is what it is to be, isn't it? A true Christian is to be grounded and founded upon Christ, is to be a follower of Christ, is to be enamored with Christ. It is to have Christ's grace in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, it doesn't matter really what he addresses here, it's finances. And you page through his epistles and you find him addressing all kinds of things. And he's always speaking about Christ in relation to these things and speaking out of a love to Christ. And that's what we ought to be as people as well. That's the true and the right way to spend thanksgiving, is to do it in a true and sincere Christian way by the grace of God. Now, there are very many important elements here in these two chapters, in chapter 9 as well, of the book of 2 Corinthians, that the Apostle Paul touches upon, and he addresses very specifically, and indeed it would take a long time to seek to unravel and to unpack all the different things that the Apostle Paul is speaking about, the matters that he is addressing directly. But there are a couple matters that he doesn't even address directly, that are almost incidental to the text, as it were, but yet are very foundational, are very central, are very core to what he's speaking about. And that is, we are to be thankful for God, and we are to be thankful to God. Of course, the Apostle Paul, he wrote more than the book, the two books to the Corinthians. He also wrote to the Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we are told that in everything we are to give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus, Paul writes, concerning you. We are to be, and we can be, thankful for so many things. And I pray today, as we bow our heads round our tables, and as we bow our knees at the end of the day, and throughout the day as well, that we may thank God for all the blessings that He gives to us. We may thank Him for our possessions that come as a result of honest labor. He writes in 1 Corinthians 4:7, "Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive?" In other words, all the things that we do have, also our physical possessions, are a gift. Even though we may work for them and we may labor hard for them, they're a gift. And so we thank God for them. We thank, of course, our boss for our paycheck as well. But ultimately, we are to thank God for these things that we may have. We may thank Him for our health. Psalm 28, "The Lord is my strength." We may thank God and must thank God for non-physical virtues. We think of the virtues of love, of faithfulness, of kindness. There would be none of these virtues, congregation, in people's lives and functioning in people's lives if God had not given them to us. So we thank Him for them. We thank Him for providences, that is, circumstances in our lives. We thank Him for the promise in regard to those providences, that all things work together for good to those who love God. We thank God for a good crop, don't we? It's God who provides all things necessary, who gives the seed, we are told here also in 2 Corinthians 9, who gives the necessary weather for a successful crop. We give thanks for the blessing of family. Psalm 127 and 128 tell us that children are a heritage of the Lord, a gift of God. We give thanks for the labor for our hands. Ecclesiastes 3 and 13 says, "Every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor." It is the gift of God. We thank God for His church. We give thanks for this institution. We give thanks for this local body, don't we? We give thanks for God for setting it up, for organizing it through the hands of people. It is He who does all these things. It is Him, ultimately, who upholds it. So we must be thankful to God for His church. We are thankful and must be thankful for the community that we experience also by the way of unity within our church family. There are many churches who don't have a sense of unity and community. And so, you think of all these things, and on and on and on the list can go, of course, congregation. We must thank God for all these mercies multiplied to us. But most of all, we are to thank God for the Lord Himself. We are to be thankful for God, for who He is. You see, if God did not exist, you and I would not exist either. He is the source of all life. In Him we live and we move, Paul says, and we have our very being. That means in Him we function and we have our very existence. Paul writes here in verse 15, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." And that unspeakable gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is thankful for God. We do well to remember that. Thankful for the gift of His Son. Are you and I, congregation, thankful for God for the gift of His Son? You know, already many thousands of years ago in the Old Testament time, this was taught in principle in the Old Testament sacrifices of wealth. Think of Leviticus 7. I would encourage you to go home today and read Leviticus 7. It speaks there all about the peace offering, which was an offering of thanksgiving, a very important offering in the Jewish festivals. But the peace offering was to follow the trespass offering. In other words, first there was to be a trespass offering, and after that, there was to be a peace offering. And a trespass offering was all about the forgiveness of sins, those who had trespassed against the Lord, and then followed this peace offering of thanksgiving. And so, picture that once in your mind. A trespass offering about forgiveness of sins, and then a peace offering of thanksgiving. And so at bottom, you see that the peace offering was gratitude to God for who He was and what He did for sinners. So already in the Old Testament time, in the way of sacrifices, the Israelite, the Old Testament Israelite, was instructed to be thankful for God and for His divine salvation. Is this what we are thankful for as well? Are we thankful for God in Jesus Christ? For His forgiveness? Are we thankful, dear congregation, for God? Let that thought just settle in our minds for a moment. Or do we foolishly sometimes wish that He wasn't looking? Do we sometimes think, I wish God didn't see me? But are we always thankful for God? Are we thankful that we can turn to Him in prayer and with thanksgiving? Are you thankful that He is a Savior that is so fitting for all of our wretched sins? Are we thankful that He is there to keep us from falling, as Paul writes it? And thankful that if we do fall, that He graciously receives us when we come to Him with repentance? Are we thankful for that? Are we thankful for all His gracious care shown to us? Are we thankful, congregation, for God? Are we thankful for His Son? Are we thankful for His Holy Spirit, without which there would be no salvation of any of the three divine persons? Do you sometimes pause in the middle of the day and just pause and think in the quietness of your heart and thank God for who He is? That's what true thanksgiving, true Christian thanksgiving, that's where it begins. Thanking God for God. Secondly, the Apostle Paul is thankful to God. Just one little word change, but yet a very important word. Verse 11, he says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. And then in verse 15 again, thanksgiving is to be to God for His unspeakable gift. And so Paul, he directs his thanksgiving in a very focused, in a laser beam way, if we can put it that way, to God. You see, we are not to be thankful just to satisfy a command and to conclude with a feeling of thanksgiving in our hearts. That's not what Christian thanksgiving is about. Think of the very word itself, congregation. Break it down. Thanksgiving. We give our thanks to God. We hand, as it were, our thanksgiving to God. And if our thanksgiving is not directed or designated to God in human terms, it really only ends where it begins, that is, with self. Now, many people, likely millions of people today, they pause to give thanks and are thankful for so many things. And that may even give a sense of peace in the heart when we do that. But true thanksgiving, true biblical Christian thanksgiving, congregation, is not only about a warm feeling of peace in my heart. When we give thanks, we give something, don't we? We direct that thanks. And if we don't direct it to someone, and if that someone is not ultimately God, not saying we can't thank others as well, but if that someone ultimately is not God, it is not true Christian thanksgiving. And that's quite easy to do, isn't it? It's quite easy just to be thankful. We have the capability, of course, to be thankful, because we are all made in the image of God. And so, all mankind has the ability to express a certain expression of thanksgiving. But our thanksgiving must be thankful to God specifically to be truly Christian. And we can never, never be thankful enough to God. Sometimes we may say, even judgmentally, oh, this person and that person, all they do is thank God and express their thanks to God. Well, congregation, I think that we ought to be more thankful to God for all His blessings shown to us physically and spiritually. See, oftentimes we think that we're such deserving people. And when we begin to think we're such deserving people, we don't express our thanksgiving to God. And when we don't express our thanksgiving to God, we are what? We are sinning against God. All that I am, I owe to Thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, has fashioned me. It's good always to have all our thanksgivings abounding to God, as Paul and the Corinthians were doing here to one another. And indeed, when we express true thanksgiving, God-focused, God-centered, God-founded thanksgiving, that thanksgiving multiplies as well. Look here in our text, verse 11. The Corinthians, they were bountiful, or that was, they are liberal with their money, which expressed, of course, their thanksgiving. And Paul says that that bountifulness, that liberality, that expression of thanksgiving on their part, caused him to be thankful to God. So, in other words, that thanksgiving was contagious, wasn't it? It was a thing that grew, and in a certain sense, it came full circle. Because if you look way back in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4, Paul was always expressing his thanks, he said, to God for the Corinthians. And then here in 2 Corinthians 9, they are thanking God and showing that with gifts of money. And when Paul says that, that in turn caused him to thank God again as well. And it is clear he is thankful to God, he is thankful for the Corinthians, he's thankful for their spirit of thanksgiving, for their abundant gifts. And there was thanksgiving going back and forth and left and right and all around. And ultimately, that thanksgiving ended being directed to God. Thanks be to God, Paul says. Also, he's saying this on behalf of the Corinthians, I believe. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. It ultimately all ended in God and to God, with Christ at the center. Charles Spurgeon very wisely comments on these passages with these words: "We give thanks to others and they thank God for the kindness which He has inspired in us. Thus, a round of thanksgiving to God is created by the spirit of giving, which first of all displayed itself in the unspeakable gift of God. We are as cups filled at the spring, and from us the thirsty drink, and they praise the fountain. You see, thanksgiving, congregation, is a contagious thing. It's just not an emotional thing. It's a spiritually contagious thing, which very clearly also from these passages has the blessing of God upon it. And so do we live this life as Christians, not just today, one of the 365 days of the year, but do we live this every day, thankful for God, thankful to God, thankful for the gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? And if we are, how are we to show that? Well, we are to show that with gifts from God. But that's our third and final thought. And we'll first sing together. Thirdly, we express our thanks to God with gifts from God. Now, how did Paul and the Corinthians express their thanksgiving? Well, verse 12 says, many thanksgivings were shown to God. Or could also be multiple kinds of thanksgivings were shown to God. Well, let's consider just four ways to show thankfulness to God with gifts from God. First of all, we show our thanksgiving with words. With words. The Apostle Paul, he spoke words of thanksgiving, didn't he? He spoke words of thanksgiving to God and for God. He did that in prayer for the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave thanks to the Corinthians for their abundant gifts. And you read through his epistles, he's thankful for so many things. He verbalized his thanksgiving with words. It's always good to remember. And it's wonderful that many, many good Christian people do this. And yet it's also maybe somewhat disturbing how many Christian people consistently express very little thankfulness with words. And that's sad, congregation, because when we don't, it implies at least that we think that we're deserving of the blessings that we receive when we don't express verbally our thanksgiving. And so we teach children, don't we, already from very young years, to say thank you when you receive something. So we ought to be doing that to one another and ultimately to God for all things with our lips through prayer, with our mouths all the day long. In the presence of His people, we are to give thanks to God for blessings shown. Let us remember that our mouths and our vocal cords are gifts of God. And therefore, we are to express with these gifts our thanks to God. I think sometimes we forget that. Think of Moses. He forgot that, didn't he? Remember when God called him to go and to minister His word, Exodus 4, verse 11? And Moses was hesitant. And God said to Moses, "Who made your mouth?" He reminds Moses of the gift of the physical mouth and the tongue. And with that gift that Moses had, he was to use that to proclaim God's word. Also words of thanksgiving. Well, we do well to remember that word of admonishment to Moses and that encouragement to us through Paul's example, that we are always to be expressing with our mouths words of thanksgiving for one another, for the many blessings, and ultimately to God and for God with our words. Secondly, we give thanks with our money, don't we? With our financial gifts. Now, it's clear, once again, from this chapter and from the previous chapter, chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, that the Corinthians were expressing their thanksgiving with money, which ministered, Paul says, to the needs of the saints. In other words, that money was used for the continuation of the ministries of the church to keep it functioning. You could say it in practical terms. And part of that, at least, and particularly on this occasion, chapter 8 and verse 1, was for the needy churches in Macedonia. But this one thing is true, that the Corinthians were willing and ready givers. And Paul writes to them that they were not to give grudgingly in verse 7 of chapter 9, or just to give out of a sense of obligation, but they were to do it with a ready and a happy heart, because God loves a cheerful giver. And that's the way we are to give our financial gifts to God and for His church still today, with a heart of gratitude and with a cheerful heart. In fact, when we don't give for His service, the Lord tells us in Malachi 3 and verse 8, we are robbing God. And that is not only sad, congregation, if that may be the case, but that is also very foolish. Because it's God who has given us the money for relative ownership, and ultimately, even if we have it in our pockets, in our bank accounts, God still owns it. He tells us in Haggai 2 and verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And so we give, don't we, with a heart of thanksgiving for His service, because it's God who gave us that gift in the first place and who holds that gift also in His hand, the gift of our finances. So we give thanks with words, we give thanks with money, and then two, just going outside of the particulars of our text, we give thanks with our time as well. God gave us the gift of time. It's a merciful gift that He has given us. And we are to use His time that He's created and He's given us to His honor and as an expression of thanksgiving to Him. And so, to say it negatively, we are not to waste time. We are not to kill time. We are not to sleep away our time. We are not to mismanage our time. But we are to, Ephesians 5:16 says, we are to redeem the time. That means to make the best use of our time, because the days are evil. And I am convinced, congregation, that we don't make the best use of our time, because precisely thus, we are not convinced that the days are evil. And we don't see the need to hurry with the coming judgment of God. And so we settle back, and we think that we got all the time in the world always to do the next thing. The Bible always tells us to be pressing onward and to pressing forward, because He's coming. The days are evil. Redeem the time. Make the best use of the time. God gave us the time. This is the way we thank Him. We live lives of gratitude for all He has given. Also this gift of time. And then finally, we give thanks with our talents. With our talents. Our gifts that way. Remember Paul, a few chapters back, actually in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's speaking to the Corinthians, isn't he, about all the differing people with all the differing talents. Remember there he's going through and he's explaining to the church that he speaks metaphorically, there are different body parts. He says one's an ear and one's a foot and one's a nose and they're all different parts. In other words, he's saying you all have different talents. Every one of you has different talents, and you are to use all those different talents to work together for the best of one another. In fact, not to cut each other down, he implies, but to encourage one another and to strengthen one another in faith as an expression of thanksgiving to God. You see, this is how we show our thanksgiving to God. We use the gifts and the talents God has given. Some have multiple gifts. Some have less gifts. Some have very visible gifts. Some have non-visible gifts. But whatever God has given us, we cultivate those gifts. And we use those. Many times those are used, of course, for our own livelihoods as well. But we use those gifts as an expression of thanksgiving unto the Lord. This is what the Puritans captured so well in all of their ministries. And that's why one of their catchphrases was, we work as unto the Lord with the talents that He has given us. That's a way, congregation, to express our thanksgiving to God. And so indeed this is true thanksgiving. Using our time, using our talents, using our money, using our words to express thanksgiving. Thanksgiving ultimately for God, to God, for His unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, Paul concludes here, for His unspeakable gift. Does this describe us? Are we overwhelmed with this gift that God has given, the person of Jesus Christ? Embedded in these very words, Paul is implying that Christ is undescribable. He's so unspeakable. You can't, in a word, get your words around it, because there's no real words to describe the beauty and the riches and the fullness and the height and the breadth and the depth of Jesus Christ. But yet Paul is thankful to God for Him. See, oftentimes we don't see the greatness and the grandeur of God. We say God is a small God, is a tiny God. And somehow he of course isn't smaller in reality, but we minimize Him, don't we? And when God is small in our perception and from our vantage point, we're not going to be that thankful to Him. But when God is larger than life, when we see Him as He really is, the One who holds the entire world in His hands, and He holds the seas in the palm of His hands, and He guides things according to His will, according to His sovereign good pleasure. When we see Him, congregation, as He really is, and we stand in His shadow, we will say with the psalmist, what shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits shown to me? I will take the cup of salvation, and I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. That is the view we have to have of God. And then, you see, then our thanksgiving is true, is real, it is Christian. And we can say with a whole heart, with Paul, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. I pray that for teenagers, for seniors, for young children, for moms and dads, for every one of us, that this may be our thanksgiving today. May God bless each one. Amen.